Recording now. Sorry.
That's fine. I think there should be a way I can mute everybody. Okay. So thank you all for your patience. I think we are all here now. Commissioner Clark, do you want to call us to order?
Yes, it's about 3:12 p.m.
Okay.
Maybe we have a roll call.
Yes, representing Ward 1, Commissioner Rodriguez. And whoever has their mic on, we are getting a lot of feedback. So if we could just have you unmute yourself when you're speaking. But representing Ward 1, Commissioner Rodriguez. And
I'm
please
present.
Unmute yourself. Oh, here? Did we hear you say here?
This is Mark Rodriguez. I'm present.
Okay, good. Representing Ward 3, Commissioner Hunter. I have heard from Commissioner Hunter that she will be unable to join us today. Representing Ward 4, Commissioner Andrews.
Here.
Representing Ward 5, Chairperson Clark.
Here.
Representing Ward 6, Commissioner Pollack.
Here.
And we have quorum.
As everyone had the opportunity to review the minutes from the November meet.
Yes.
This Commissioner Rodriguez, I think there's some things missing from the minutes.
From the 11... 2 minutes left.
Yes. The City of Tucson Police Department presentation. There's key details there that were omitted regarding the ethnic diversity of the police department, separating the administrative from the actual police boots on the ground. The fact that both, also the fact that policemen and firemen do not have to be residents of the city. And also the important fact that it costs $100,000 for each policeman for a year to be trained.
Commissioner Rodriguez, are you on your phone by any chance and on the computer? Because we're getting feedback on this side.
Oh, let me go to the phone.
If you mute one of them, it should be fine.
How is that?
Slightly better. Can you say something, please?
Hello? Is this better?
Well, there is still a bit of feedback.
Okay. Let me get out of here.
Interesting. I actually only show one of your devices was.
How is that now?
I think that is much better. Thank you. Okay, so your contention is that there was not enough detail in the minutes to satisfy you?
I would say maybe the other commissioners also, not just me. This is an important topic. and regarding the diversity of the city in general, especially the police department.
Okay, so in that case...
Yes, I'm concerned that these three important points were not included in the minutes of the meeting.
Did you have an opportunity to listen to the recording?
Recording of the meeting. I was
in November meeting.
I was present. I was present at the meeting. So I'm talking about the minutes of the meeting reflecting what happened at the meeting.
So I suppose if we don't approve the minutes now, that I can redraft the minutes and they could be brought for approval if I redraft them. Do we think that's the best way forward?
Yes. And I don't know who's taking minutes of the meeting. Is that Mr. Rivera?
No, I compose the minutes of the meeting. I do it off the transcripts.
Well, the transcripts aren't picking up all the details, Leah. So that's my concern. And this is an important, very important topic.
Okay. Okay, I can redraft the minutes and resubmit them to the commissioners for approval in the next meeting.
Well, that was my, excuse me, Leah, that was my concern for the presentation of the police department. I'm not sure of the other minutes of the meeting, the other information in the minutes, but I'm fine with that. It's my concern regarding the presentation of the police department.
Yes, well, I believe the minutes either have to be approved in entirety as written or not. So if you object even to one part of the minutes, we can't vote on just the other pieces of the minutes. It's a full document.
Right.
Is there any discussion on Commissioner Rodriguez's motion with respect to the minutes?
Chairperson Clark, and for those of you on phone only, this is Commissioner Andrews. I was just looking through the City of Tucson Board Committee and Commission Member Handbook, and under minutes it states, and I'll read, meeting minutes give a reasonably detailed summary of your discussions and votes. So I guess it's the interpretation of what's reasonable in terms of detail. And I would say, you know, I know that some of those details were brought up and they were specific to some statements made by Commissioner Rodriguez. When I read through this, I thought that the context of the presentation was captured in these written minutes, and therefore I was prepared to move that they be approved simply because they sort of captured the essence. We were given a presentation of recruiting and recruiting efforts, and the minutes largely reflected those items that the department was experiencing for the benefit of our knowledge. But I'll leave it, turn it back to the commission at large then to continue this discussion.
Well, I'm interpreting Commissioner Rodriguez's motion as a motion to redo the minutes and have them presented at a later time. That's what I was saying.
Yes.
This being discussion.
Well, and that's wherein the detail in the meeting minutes, what constitutes a reasonable essence of what was discussed and acted upon. So that's, I'm putting that back to all of you and see how you feel about it.
I don't mean to sound like Robert's Rules of Order, but I do have a motion before me. I don't have a second. And after we have a second, then there should be discussion on the motion. Is there a second on Commissioner Rodriguez's motion to suspend the minutes and have them redone and presented at the next meeting? Commissioner Rodriguez, I don't hear a second.
I'm very disappointed in that. I'm concerned about the fact that I'm one of the only person of color on this commission. And there has been an issue regarding recruitment that was discussed at the last meeting. It went down even into the fact that a lot of the police academy attendees were overweight, not in shape. You can provide that type of detail, but you cannot provide the detail regarding diversity. That is a concern for me. And that is a concern for me that the other commissioners don't think that is a priority. And I need to be on record for that.
Did anybody move to approve them?
There has been no motion to approve.
Okay.
Are the other commissioners hearing the discussion?
Yes. This is Commissioner Pollack. I'd like to move that we accept the minutes as written.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
Further discussion. We've heard Commissioner Rodriguez's view that he is disappointed in the other commissioners. Is there any other discussion?
I don't think we are trying to reduce the importance of various factors in selection of police recruits and things like that. This was just merely I thought that the discussion with the police department, it's not like it was an audit. It was more of a informational session. And if we want to put it on the agenda future items or whatever to vote on to be reviewed, you could go specifically after that, you know, and look for the reasons why people aren't, it would just be more information about the types of recruits, who's available, whether they're trying to make a concerted effort to get a diversified TPD and TFD. I mean, I didn't have any problem with the presentation they gave. There's so many factors that is keeping people of various diversities from being at the police or the fire department. So if somebody wants to see that as a future agenda item, I'm not sure what we'll be looking for, but you know, that would be up to the commission to decide if they wanted to take that on and go further with it.
Commissioner Rodriguez, would you delay your
Or do we just vote on? You do have a motion and a second to approve.
Sure, and we're still in discussion. Commissioner Pollack made some valid points. We did have another future agenda item for the Tucson Police Department to present some more information to this commission about labor negotiations. And certainly, this was one presentation of perhaps many wherein the commission would decide whether to perform an audit and set the outline for the audit, which might include some of those elements that were just presented by Commissioner Rodriguez. So in the context of, doing an audit and looking at those things that Commissioner Rodriguez finds very important, I think the next logical step is actually further presentations with that topic to be addressed, and then the commission can decide whether to move on.
Aaron has his hand raised. Aaron?
Chairman Clark, members of the commission, just a friendly reminder, it might put the commissioners at ease to know that the complete audio files of every minute are publicly accessible and posted on the commission's website, just as a reminder. So the after the meetings are done, the complete audio file is posted and available. And then once the minutes are approved, those are also available. So anybody that wants to dig into the details, it's out there and it's public. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
This is Commissioner Rodriguez. I think the matter of details is important. If there's details about the recruits being overweight, there should be a detail there regarding the ethnic diversity of the police department. And I agree that we should revisit this in the future, because that's an ongoing concern, not only in the state of Arizona, the city of Tucson, but the state of Arizona. Full representation.
Any further discussion? May we have a roll call vote, please?
For approval of the minutes, Commissioner Rodriguez?
No.
Commissioner Andrews?
Aye.
Commissioner Clark?
Aye.
Commissioner Pollack?
Yes.
So passed 3-1.
On item 3 on the agenda, we have the staff update, business services. Is there anyone who can provide that?
Erin, are you able to provide an update from business services?
Commissioner Clark, members of the commission, yes, we expected business services to be available, but I can give a general update of what they're working on. So currently they're getting ready to go into the budget cycle for the next fiscal year, which will be FY25. They are also working through the ongoing implementation of the new financial and ERP system, Workday. That went live a couple months ago, and now they're doing end-to-end testing to make sure that all of the interfaces with the various systems that the city has are functioning properly, and that we're getting all the information into the main financial system and the main human resource and planning and training system so that we're prepared for fiscal 24 year end, which will be coming up here in 6 months.
Those are
the main things that that I know of without having a brief from the department heads on what they other things they might be working on.
Thank you, Ed. Is there any comments or discussion on the amounts presented or the material presented? I hear none. I thank Erin for the report, but I think I would like to schedule at some future time the business people to come back and tell us specifically what they're up to.
Yes, that is a standing monthly, and they generally are able to join us. So.
Item 4, the Code Enforcement Subcommittee update.
Okay, this is Commissioner Pollack. We had our last Code Enforcement Subcommittee meeting on December 22nd, and we successfully at least got through the entire report, got our changes down in writing, thanks to Leah. And we have now taken the next step is going to be for all of us to review, all of us in the subcommittee, to review that report, make sure it's accurate as we know, and it reads consistently and matches the scope of the audit and all those things, and get it ready for review by the entire IAPC. So hopefully, we don't have our next committee meeting scheduled yet. The holidays kind of bit into time to do scheduling and everything. I'm hoping that meeting's going to take place in January here, since this is early in the month, and that we will have a finished product ready to present to the IAPC at the February meeting. And then, of course, there could be additional. Of course, we're going to be having questions asked of the committee and everything as people have read through the report. And there might be additional changes, but we're definitely on the finishing side of getting this audit report done. Anybody have any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fowler. Presentation from the procurement regarding city contracts.
All right, good afternoon. Commissioners, my name is Nathan Dow. I'm the city's procurement administrator, and I'm happy to be speaking with you this afternoon. So I have a brief presentation. It's really sort of a PowerPoint presentation that I would give to a city department to explain to them, you know, here's what procurement is, here's why we are, here's what we do. So I've updated that, and that's what I intended to give to you today. So just to make sure I'm hitting the mark, though, we're just looking for a high-level presentation, right, of kind of how procurement goes about the competitive process and what our parameters are, that sort of thing.
I think we're also looking for the reevaluation. What information is collected during the course of a contract with a subcontractor, their service delivery, so which may be used in order to do a reevaluation. Because there was some concern about a supplier of Suntran bus services that someone we discussed with, I forget who it was at the last meeting, said that company was able to compete on future projects. And it raised a concern because there have been issues with that contractor. And so we're really kind of, you know, it's great to give an overview of the procurement process, but we were also very interested in supplier selection and reevaluation.
Okay. All right. That's very helpful. So I'm going to breeze through some of my slides, and then I'll just talk through some things that I didn't have in my slides at all. But that's fine. We'll just talk on the fly here. So, all right. Let me attempt to share my screen, which is always an adventure, so bear with me. Let's see. Okay, are you seeing my PowerPoint?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And let me go to presentation mode. Okay. All right. So, yeah, I just quickly, like I say, I'll breeze through some of this. So my name is Nathan Dow. I've been with the city's procurement team for 21 years. And how do I advance the slide? I'm sorry. Here we go. All right. So just a little bit about who and why we exist. So the procurement function within the city of Tucson is established under the city charter, Chapter 15. It establishes that there will be a centralized procurement authority within the city of Tucson. The procurement director, and in parentheses it says business services director, because 5 years ago, the city created a business services department by effectively merging the former procurement and finance departments into one mega department called the business services department. So The terms procurement director, finance director, and business services director are used interchangeably. The business services director holds both roles, basically, of procurement director and finance director. And that person has the sole contracting authority for the city, And then the authority is delegated down to the procurement employees. So one of the benefits of a centralized procurement function is that you have people who have dedicated themselves to the procurement profession running those procurements. As you can just imagine, there's lots of rules and regulations because we're spending public money. First and foremost is the Tucson Procurement Code. This is a city ordinance passed by mayor and council. So I would say this is our main piece of legislation that establishes our authority for what we do and our different processes. However, the Arizona Revised Statutes also come in, particularly in the area of construction. And then if we are ever using any federal funding source, like grants, for example, then there are federal requirements that go along with that. For example, the Federal Transit Authority gives money to transportation for buses, as for one example. HUD gives money to our housing department. And even though they're both federal agencies and you would think their federal requirements would all be the same, they're not. So we try to keep it all straight. Lastly, I'll just mention our values and guiding principles of public procurement. These are things that, you know, where our legislation is silent. I just, you know, feel it's worth mentioning that here at the City of Tucson, we have adopted these values and guiding principles. We've incorporated them into our ethics and conduct policy for the procurement staff. And those are accountability, ethics, impartiality, professionalism, service, and transparency. And, you know, they come into play in lots of various ways, in particular ways when it comes to contracting, right? So any place where, you know, legislation might be silent, this is sort of our North Star. These are our values and our guiding principles that we're going to use to help us decide how to move forward. Okay, so real quickly, we do, in the contracting area, it's all goods, all services, and then your design and construction and related services. This could be architecture and engineering services, construction, and then also like building maintenance. Just by way of clarity, some things we don't do, it would be purchase and sale of real estate. So that is outside of procurement's purview, as well as leasing real estate. IGAs, intergovernmental agreements. So anytime our government agency partners with another government agency, that is handled by through an IGA, which is done by the attorney's office through the mayor and council. So we don't look at, even though another government agency might be performing a service for the city, we don't view that as a procurement vendor per se. So it's handled separately through an IGA. MOUs, memos of understanding, same thing. And then direct payment authorizations, these are allowed under an administrative directive. These are payments that really can't be competed. Utility payments are one example, because we really can't compete for our utility services. Likewise, there might be a membership to like a professional association. There's really no way to compete that amongst different organizations. So there's a few exceptions outlined there. So I just quickly mention that if it's helpful. Usually this is a helpful slide for folks, our purchasing thresholds. So purchases under $10,000, this is our just one quote required. This is minimal competition. Purchases over $10,000 but under $100,000, this is our three quotes range. This would be an informal competitive process. So there is still competition required wherever practical, but it is not as in-depth as purchases over $100,000, which is our formal competitive threshold. So anything above that gets our most competitive process. And we use a formal solicitation method. I've listed three there: invitation for bid, request for proposal, and request for qualifications. Let's see. Excuse me. Okay, so some other requirements. Small business enterprise, disadvantaged business enterprise, and Davis-Bacon and related acts. So I'll quickly mention these. So our small business enterprise program, and again, this is a mayor and council ordinance, passed by our mayor and council. This applies to non-federally funded goods and services under $100,000. and it's actually a set-aside program. So we have a team of folks that will certify businesses as being a small business enterprise. If they meet the requirements for that, they're on the list for the types of goods and services that they sell. And then if the city has a need for that that's under $100,000, it's actually set aside for the firms on that list. If there's not firms on the list, then obviously we're free to go outside the list. The disadvantaged business enterprise program, this only applies to federally funded construction over $100,000. Now, this is a federal requirement that comes with that those federal grant monies that we get. So anytime we have a construction project that is federally funded, the DBE kicks in and our team reviews the scope of work for that construction project. They look for subcontracting opportunities, and then they compare the subcontracting opportunities to the firms on the disadvantaged business enterprise list. And if there are firms who do those types of services, then we set a goal, a DBE participation goal, and the prime contractor is required to subcontract out a certain percentage of the work to this, the DBEs that are on our list. Lastly, Davis-Bacon and Related Acts. This applies to federally funded construction projects over $2,000. And this is a federal act that says employees of the contractors performing certain trades on a federally funded construction project must make these certain, I don't want to say minimum wages because I don't want to confuse it with the minimum wage, but prevailing wage is the term. They have to make the prevailing wage for that trade. So, you know, masonry workers must make at least this minimum dollar amount. Electricians must make a different dollar amount. And those all come from the federal government, and we ensure that the employees on those construction jobs get paid the right wages. Okay, just again, this is something we say to our departments. So I just kept this slide in just because, you know, we do try to impress upon people. This isn't just some nifty ideas that we in procurement think are, you know, good ideas. This is legislation. Employees who do break, you know, knowingly, intentionally break these rules can, you know, be subject to consequences. I have seen employees disciplined. I have seen employees terminated. And we've seen some employees actually serve prison time for these types of things. So it does happen, unfortunately, in, you know, very rare cases. I kind of already touched on this, the formal versus informal. It's really that $100,000 that's the dividing line there. The only thing I'll add is just that we try to look at the cumulative spend. So if it's something that we call an annual requirements contract versus a one-time buy. So when you buy a vehicle, this is a one-time buy, right? You buy it, the expenditure is done. But if it is a service, an ongoing service, like let's say landscaping services, well, that's where we want to look at what's going to be your total spend over the total life of the contract, which is usually 5 years. So that's where, whenever we're deciding, is our total spend under 100,000 or over 100,000? If it's an ongoing service, we would look at the 5-year projection. Okay. And then, you know, if it's of interest, just a bit about when you might use an invitation for bid versus a request for proposal. An invitation for bid, so I'm just going to get into some of the different solicitation methods we use for a formal solicitation. An invitation for bid, this is what you often hear referred to as the low bid process. And there will always be a place for it. It's appropriate for goods that can be well defined. So when you can really specify what it is you're looking for, you know exactly what you need, you can specify it to a great extent, then actually, and there's not a big service component, you're not too concerned with the vendor's qualifications. You're really just looking for who can sell me this product that meets my specifications that I've written at the best price. So that's an invitation for bid, very price driven. Low bid, meeting the specs, wins the award. However, what I will say is that is the minority of the solicitations we do. Usually in goods and services, it's a request for proposal by and large. This is appropriate for some goods, but mainly for services. This allows for the evaluation of factors besides price. So you can take into account a vendor's qualifications to perform this service. You can take into account past projects that they've done of a similar nature. You can check references. You can consider warranty. What does the warranty cover? So different things. And all of that is evaluated by a panel of committee members on the our evaluation committee, and they all render a score for each offer that is submitted, and we award to the highest ranked offer, which may be the lowest price, may not be. Price is always one of the factors of consideration, but often not the most important. So that is just a little bit about IFB versus RFP. And maybe actually this is a good place, Commissioner Pollock, to address your question. So, because you asked about how a firm's past experience could be taken into consideration, especially if it's been poor, right? So I'll just pause on this slide and sort of address this. Because we definitely would take into consideration, we almost always have an evaluation criteria called qualifications and experience of the firm. And we do ask for references. We do ask for examples of past similar projects. And we also say in our request for proposals that committee members can take into account their experiences or the experiences that the agency they represent have had with that firm. So to try to say that in a maybe a clearer way, for example, if you were evaluating auto body repair businesses, well, and I'm sitting on the evaluation committee, let's say, although procurement people never do that, but let's just say that I was. If I personally took my personal vehicle to this auto body repair shop, now I cannot bring those examples to the table and take that into consideration. However, if me and my role here at the city of Tucson, if I was responsible for, let's say I worked in fleet services, right? And I was responsible for getting vehicles repaired for the city, and I have worked with this auto body repair shop in the past. Now that, those experiences I can bring to the table. If I have an evaluation committee member from Pima County and they also have similar experiences, they can bring that to the table.
Excuse me if I interrupt you for a moment.
Yes, please.
I believe that Commissioner Pollock has a question.
Yeah, her hand up. She did. Sometimes it's hard for the people to notice. So
now, thank you. I've got a couple of comments or questions on that. What I'm looking for, part of what I was looking for in this was that there's an actual collection of information that is documented somewhere on performance. Because it's fine for you to have a committee, but the city has turned over almost every, I mean, you with 21 years are probably one of the longest city employees there currently. And so if these contracts go on, and this contract with, the bus shelter company has gone on for, oh, I don't know, 10 years or something. There's probably next to no one left working for SunTran that started when that contractor started. And so how is information collected? It shouldn't be subjective with the person on the committee saying, it's been my good experience or I've had bad experiences with them. I want honest to goodness data. How many calls have been made for, you know, bad delivery of service or good delivery of service? You know, what actual data does procurement or someone collect? I mean, is there anything like that in the procurement system where you have actual data?
Well, I don't think it's to the extent you're hoping for. So, because we only have what people will report to us. Okay. And I guess we are not proactively going out and asking anybody to fill out a survey or, you know, how is the service this year? Well, let me revise that a little bit. So every year when the contract officer on procurement goes to renew the contract, we would reach out to our project manager out in the department who's managing that contract. And we would say, you know, hey, it's time to renew. Are you interested in renewing? Is there any issues we should be aware of? Because the renewal time is the time to, you know, renegotiate anything. And, you know, honestly, that's the time that you can leverage the renewal, right, to try to improve the vendor's performance if there has been performance issues. So we always ask those questions. So I guess I shouldn't say we're not proactive in it. But I will also admit that usually it's just, yep, everything's good, please renew. There's usually not a lot of detailed conversation that happens. Now, the project manager at any time can reach out to procurement to say, hey, as I am trying to manage this contract and work with the vendor, I'm running into challenges or I think the vendor's not performing up to the level of the contract. They could always reach out to procurement and get us involved for assistance. And that sometimes happens. Sometimes it doesn't. So I suspect that when there's a vendor who's been poorly performing, there's a good chance we don't have a lot of documentation to that effect, which I think is really your question. Now, the last thing I'll offer is that we do have an audit function. Well, Aaron and Leah are the city's audit function. But within procurement, just within our procurement team, we also have one person that audits contracts, and we just sort of look for ones to audit. We ask the contract officers which ones should be audited. Now the bus shelter contract has been audited. by Leah and Aaron's group, I believe, in recent years. So there is that. I see what you're saying, right? You're saying you rely on the, it is good. It is a good thing to be able to rely on the memories and the certain people that are sitting on the evaluation committee for whatever it is they know and can bring to the table. But if those people have left, I don't know what we can do about that. But we would always get somebody representing the end user to serve on the evaluation committee, right? So like for bus shelters, for example, it will be somebody from transportation always sitting on that committee.
I think you've really tried to cover, you know, what it is that you're doing and what's happening. And I really appreciate that. I think that, the city in general does not use input from the public enough, because the public is riding the buses. The public is picking up at the bus stations and or the bus stops. And I've never had anything from transportation or anybody reaching out to me to say, hey, how are we doing? And so it's really actually unfortunate. The city, it's not just for this thing, but this city could probably do a better job at reaching out to the public. I know I did get a email from my councilman. I think it was early last year, asking all his constituents, are you happy with the bus stops and how they're being maintained? If not, write me or write SunTran. You know, I routinely am emailing SunTran about all the trash, the graffiti and everything else that hangs around for more than a few days, because we can't have those stops looking the way they are. And so I just feel that, you know, our input, I'm taking the time to either send an email or call, usually email. Those should be going in a bucket and they should be pulled out and looked at least once a year or something when they contract is being reviewed or people are being reviewed. There's nothing wrong with that. It's hard to do that because somebody has to have a way of maintaining that information and then tabulating it afterwards. So yeah, it's very difficult, but they need to take more input from the public. This is, and I don't mean to pick on the SunTran people either. It just happened to be the one thing that came up when we were discussing that information one day at one of the meetings, the IAPC meetings. There's a lot of room for improvement because it's our money. And I know I'm picking up hundreds of cigarette butts a week at these bus stops. And these guys are the contractors. I shouldn't say guys. The contractors are supposed to be cleaning up within 6 or 7 feet surrounding the bus stop, but I'm picking it up. And I'm only picking up at 3 or 4 stops. So, and I drive by 100 others, and a lot of them are in miserable shape. I can't believe we're happy with that. So anyhow, I'm just kind of looking at broader issue, though, of we need to be collecting information on suppliers and contractors we're using, because they, you know, sometimes there's somebody better. But anyhow, I appreciate you trying to provide as much information. And I believe, you know, that that's what's going on. And it's pretty common what you're saying, I think, is what companies do. So thank you very much. Yeah, and I didn't mean to jump in there.
Oh, no, thank you for doing that. And, yes, I've not really seen the hands raised, so please just jump in if I miss it.
If I may, Commissioner Andrews had a question.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Gow, in using a request for a proposal, I'm certain that there's a very broad scope of goods and services that the city procures. And that leads to a question about how you select your review panels. Is there finite criteria for selecting a panel, since they would probably have to be as diverse as the goods and services being sought with a level of expertise for giving a qualified opinion as to offer of value? How is that done, selecting a panel?
Well, so primarily we would ask our project manager, so the end user, basically, who's bringing the need to procurement, we would ask them to recommend committee members. And we're looking for subject matter experts, so who know the product or the good or the service and have some experience with it. And ideally, it's somebody who, you know, is going to work with this, right? So we will often encourage them. Well, so that's kind of how we pick committee members. And then as far as the makeup of the evaluation committee, it always has to be an odd number, 3 or 5. We aim for 3 because any more than 3 gets hard to schedule, frankly, and it just prolongs the whole process. Now, this is voting members. You can have other non-voting members who are advisory. They can read the proposals. They can contribute to the conversation. They can do everything but fill out the score sheet. The non-voters. But as far as the voters, we always say that the ideal makeup would be one person representing the end user, one person from somewhere else within the city, another city department, and then one person from outside the city of Tucson. So maybe, you know, like if it's transportation, we'd say look to your counterparts at Pima County. Or if it's the water department, how about your counterparts at Oro Valley Water? You know, some other agency that because that's where we're looking for the end user to have a minority of the votes. So on a 3-person voting panel, the end user can only have 1 vote. If it was a 5-person panel, they could have 2 votes, but always a minority is what we're looking for. Does that kind of answer your question?
Yes. Thank you very much.
I see another hand raised.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Commissioner Rodriguez, have you a question?
Yes, sir. I think it's been a very informative presentation. I was just wondering, though, in reference to also Commissioner Pollack, what internal forms do you have, self-evaluation forms that are actually documented regarding any contracts that are certain deliverables, timelines, whether they were met or not, something that's on paper that we can that can be reviewed and evaluated. I don't hear of any type of tangible forms, documents that you have that regarding, let's say, the vendors for the for the bus stops. I concur. They're a mess, especially over here on the south side, west side, and elsewhere. And community input is one thing, which is important. But the internal, I think, mandate of you guys is how are those survey suggestions reviewed and implemented, if reasonable? And also, what ongoing forms do you have that document some of the concerns that we have?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Well, just admittedly, we really do not have a vendor performance rating system like what Commissioner Pollack described. And I know exactly what you're talking about, and we don't have one, you know. So there's no way just to go and sort of log in, you know, complaints or even just observations, good or bad, right, about just city contractors. So we do not have that. Now, I want to kind of make a distinction between what procurement does and then what falls under the realm of project management, right? So, because I was describing a competitive process that we go through to select a contractor, but then procurement's handing it over to that project manager, right, that end user out in the department to now carry out this scope of work and, you know, make sure the vendor's doing it. And if they're not doing it, you know, they follow up. Now, we're always here to get involved and help, and we can help both parties, right, the vendor and the end user within the city. But, like, that was interesting to learn about the council member sending out the email that basically soliciting feedback on the bus stops. I've never had anything forwarded to me if there's been responses, but perhaps they went to the project manager in transportation. And so totally separate from the procurement file is going to be a project management file that's going to live out in that department with the project manager. And now that might have a lot more information. I don't think that generally the city's project managers are doing a lot of surveying to really proactively solicit feedback, but I'm sure they're just themselves keeping notes and keeping a file to document what they need to document. But no, I don't think we're proactively looking for that feedback.
Well, I guess just to follow up on that, I've been a project manager many times, and we have a template of depending on the functions and the goals, objectives, and pretty detailed at times. And so it's like a score sheet for the project manager. And if you don't have that with a project manager, then how are we supposed to validly review? There might be a lot of good things going on that are, you know, not noted. There might be some, you know, other things that are of concern. But it's something I would highly suggest. And also on a policy level, I think that is something, given that we're receiving federal fund, different funds, that's a requirement many times that the funders are required. And it would behoove the city to do that on their own anyway, showing a track record and showing, you know, I guess it would be up to the project manager and also the city. It's not just throwing it to the project manager. Maybe that's where it should be, but it should be an overall policy issue. And that's our tax dollars. And you want we'd like to see itemized remarks, data on that. And if they're not functioning well, then maybe they shouldn't be offered a contract again. Thank you.
Thank you. Aaron, do you have input at this point?
Chairman Clark, members of the commission, thank you. Yes, just as a clarifying point and to kind of help Nathan remember, certain contracts do have it written into the contract, periodic reviews and detailed reviews, such as performance metrics on some of the management contracts that we have that do have to be completed. So not all of them are just kind of informal notes. Some of them do require the project manager do a specific and detailed evaluation of services, sometimes to then trigger incentives or disincentives on contracts, and sometimes just to put on file and determine like a 5-year performance and a second 5-year term renewal. So those do exist. Thank you.
I have a question based on that.
Good point.
What is the process between proposal and contract? In other words, as Karen indicated, some contracts will have specific goals and reviews. I'm assuming there's a proposal by these, and when that proposal is selected, somebody has to draw a contract. No?
Okay. Yes. So procurement would request the proposals. We facilitate the evaluation committee evaluating those proposals. They make a recommendation, and then we do award a contract. It's actually usually a sort of a layered approach. Our request for proposals on the bottom, the vendor's response to that is on the top, any negotiated items on top of that. So we sort of build with layers this contract, and then we award it in the end. And then, yes, as Aaron mentioned, there is some contracts, so thank you for reminding me, that will say, yeah, there's certain things, and he mentioned the management contract. So like when we outsource the management of the golf or the management of the convention center, those do say, yearly, we want to look at your financials, or we want to, like, for example, for the Tucson Convention Center management contract, it says that we reserve the right to request all of the surveys that they send out to the people that rent the TCC to hold events there, like the customer satisfaction surveys. So we requested a copy of those recently, as a matter of fact. Yes, there is some where we might write some performance things into it that we can request later once the contract's been up and running for a while.
But who does the wording and who decides what needs to be in it?
Well, that would be the end user. So the end user that's coming to procurement to say we need a contract for X, we're really looking to them to be that subject matter expert to say, okay, well, you know, draft the scope of work. What is it you need a vendor to do? Now, we in procurement, just because we do it a lot, you know, we might help wordsmith. We might help, you know, rearrange so it's clearer and put it together into a document. But as far as the substance and the content, that's coming from the project manager.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Didn't mean Excellent to leave questions. You so far from your presentation.
No, I mean, hey, it's just a starting point to start the conversation. So as long as I get your questions answered, that's all that matters. No, thank you for your interest. This has been a great conversation. What other questions do you have for me?
Is there happen to be any public, without having to go through a public records request, is there any information on contractors that have been selected, other than the fact that a contract got awarded to somebody? What is available, readily available to the public online? Say contracts were awarded to these contractors or these companies for 2023, 2024, you know, whatever it might be, or, you know, these are the contractors that we are doing business with. I mean, is there anything that we can see without doing a public records request?
Yes. So I'm sharing my screen. This is our procurement website, TucsonProcurement.com. And I'm not logged in. Nobody has to log in. So it's easily available. If you click on contracts, this opens up. The name of the software that we use to store our contracts is called OpenGov. So it opens it up here, and this is just every contract that's open. So it's not expired. This is one-time buy contracts. This is annual requirements contracts. So the name of the vendors here, the title of the contract is here, contract number, what department it's for, which procurement staff member is handling that. Let's just look at, well, Pima Paving. That probably gets used a lot. So if you click on that, you get a little bit more information. You can click on this and open up a copy of the contract. So there it is, and you can scroll through that. If you want to see any of the change orders, it looks like we've approved a couple of change orders here. Looks like, so this is a construction project, and this is a construction change order, and it's got the dollar amount, everybody who signed off, the scope of work. It looks like they're adding handicap ramps and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, you can get copies of all the contracts just right here on our website. Now, I won't say that, we don't have any nice, you know, pie charts or graphs or, you know, here's how much money we've spent with this one or that one. That's not here. But, you know, we get emails all the time, and if it's anything that we could just easily, oh, yeah, let me just get a copy for you, we will not say you have to go through a public records request, especially if it's something quick and easy that we can just, you know, send you a link or just, you know, save it as a PDF and email it to you. So, yeah, not everything has to be a public records request.
Now, how far back does it go? Because I'm looking on here and I look at closed. Okay. I look at transportation mobility. It only lists 2022. So how do you go to advanced search and then you can go back and look further?
Well,
has it only been up and running for a year or so?
It has. It's only been up and running since March of 22, I want to say. And we would have put in, here's a 2017 contract here. But that's because we're still using it. So we put in some older contracts as long as they were still open. But, yeah, generally speaking, once the contract closes, it's going to fall off this list because we don't want to clutter it up with a lot of expired stuff. So I guess if you wanted anything historical that's since been closed, that would probably take an email to us, and then we could get it to you as long as we still have it. There's the records retention policy where, of course, we have to destroy things after so many years, but as long as we still have it, you know, we can send it to you.
That'd be great, because we had a project here in Garden District that was a federally funded $500,000 project. And in the end, they didn't do everything that they told us was going to be done. A few things were missing. And, but we didn't learn that until the end, but we didn't have access to the contract. Also, the subcontractor put all the plants. Most of the plants were planted in the wrong place. We had more than a 50% mortality rate in half a mile length of project. And I tried to find out information on that, how much money was spent and who it went to and what, could never find out a thing. And the project manager would just tell me, you go look online for the project plan and everything, and it wasn't there. They only put the project plan online once, and then they never updated it. And so, yeah, I'd be very interested. Would I just send you an email?
Yeah, you can definitely
tell you which project it was, because it was only about 6 years ago. And I would really love to see that, because whoever that contractor was, so the project manager told us, well, we can't watch everybody. And they use data.
I hate to interrupt at this point, but we do have a time limit on our meeting.
That's great. I'll just send you an email. Thank you.
Thank you, I have one other question. It relates to the those programs where you are required to at least look into local providers.
Yes.
And you had mentioned that in that case you go to the list. My question is, how is that list maintained? How do you determine whether or not somebody doesn't provide the thing and falls off the list or not?
Yes. Okay, so share my screen again. Let's see. Oops. So back on our website, and this is here too, if you clicked on vendors, and then here's our SBE program and here's our DBE program. And you can get to all this here, and you can pull up the list. But basically, so the DBE, this is a federal program, and the City of Tucson procurement team is certified by the state of Arizona to certify firms as a disadvantaged business enterprise firm. So we've gone through that training, and we do it for our own organization as well as Pima County. Actually for all of Southern Arizona. And then there's different folks that have been identified in the Phoenix area. Now, in the small business enterprise program, this is just a mayor and council passed policy, city ordinance, that is. So this is our own program. So we simply do it ourselves, but we very closely follow the federal DBE. It's very similar, right? We kind of modeled it after that. And so they would look at, they request copies of income tax returns for the last 3 years because they have to verify that the income is not over a certain threshold. They look at the, you know, what was your gross sales of your business, because it can't be over a certain threshold because we're looking for small businesses. So we go through the certification process. We'll issue a certificate. We'll put them on the list, and then it's only good for 1 year and it does expire. And so every year we would send them a renewal saying, hey, your certification was only good for a year. If you think you still qualify, well, send me your updated income tax return for the last year. And, you know, send me your updated sales reports and what have you. Some vendors don't respond. Some vendors, I'm proud to say, graduate from the program because now they're making too much money. So hopefully they've, you know, benefited from the program enough that now their sales have increased and they've graduated out. Some simply never respond, and then we will decertify them. We'll send them a registered letter saying you've not responded or you've not met the requirements. You've been decertified. You're off the list.
Is there any program for determining whether or not the local vendor performs adequately?
Whether they perform adequately? I'm going to say no, but so, you know, in a construction project, right, we're talking about subcontractors now, but ultimately the prime is responsible. And ultimately that project manager out in the department has to accept the work. And so, you know, as you guys probably know, there's, you know, there's walkthroughs, there's punch lists. If the project manager says this isn't completed or this isn't correct, prime contractor, you got to go back. Well, if the prime was to say, oh, my sub messed up, or my sub performed poorly, well, that's all between the prime and the sub, right? And we wouldn't get involved in that. Ultimately, the project manager just wants to know, was it finally done up to snuff? Yes. Okay, I'm signing off, you know. So I can't say that we're evaluating sub's performance, really.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Rodriguez?
I see,
Yes, real quickly, I would make a suggestion, sir. Software that you have in procurement, and also I think within the finance department, they have a new software. And I've mentioned this before. The information that hopefully you are trying to get, internal methods, evaluating yourselves, is there a template that the project manager is using specific to the vendor? Those kind of things should be tabulated. But I think those minute details sort of get lost in a paragraph. I would suggest using graphic presentation, pie charts, graphs. That can tell you quite a bit. That was my background in statistics, biostats. And a lot can be said with that and for further discussion, but it's something that I would suggest that you and possibly the finance department start using and see if your programs, your new software programs, have that capability.
That's a good recommendation. So there's two software programs. There's Workday, which is what our finance folks purchased, mainly for financial purposes, but our requisitions and purchase orders are also in there. And then this OpenGov software that I briefly showed you is where that's where we post the solicitation. That's where the vendor submits their bid, and then we do the evaluation there in OpenGov. So that's probably the better system to try to do that in. I don't disagree with you. The only additional perspective I'll offer is that it can sometimes be hard to take into account, observations that are shared about past experience. We do say in our request for a proposal, committee members can bring that to the table. But I will say it's very subjective. It's all in conversation. If we had something that was available for vendors to see, I just know that would introduce a process of like rebuttal from the vendor, basically. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing or that we shouldn't, be open to a vendor's, counterpoints, right? But as soon as a vendor was to see, ooh, I got a negative rating or I got a project manager complaining about me, they're going to want to come in and say, well, time out now. maybe the city contributed to this bad performance. Maybe the city was non-responsive, and they're going to have an additional perspective. And I'm thinking out loud is what I'm doing. And I'm just thinking, I don't know what the outcome is, right? Right. I'm not sure what the adjudication process is to say, well, he said this and he said that. Like, we would need some mechanism to resolve that, right? But I don't disagree with you at all. We have hundreds of vendors under contract performing for the city at the taxpayer's expense. And would it be a bad thing to have a vendor rating system? Not at all.
Thank you.
Mr. Dow, do you have any further presentation?
I don't. And if you have any questions for me, well, Aaliyah, is the best way for them to email you, or can they email me directly?
I
don't know how the flow of communication goes.
I know. If it's a committee business, the question should come through me for the maintenance of, open meeting laws and that sort of thing. So right. There's always, the fine distinction. Is it actually committee business or is it other business? If it's other business, they can go to you. But sometimes it's easier, to just send the email to me and I can forward to in the city who the question needs to go to, right? I think sometimes just for ease of flow, it's easier to come through me, but official committee business has to come to me.
And because of the open meeting law, if there are any questions, I think the only thing we can do is ask you to come back and answer them. I don't think a commissioner who presents Leo with a question can get that answered there if it's a committee business.
So I guess you would probably be correct on that. So that's the fine distinction. Is it under the purview of the committee, or is it just the individual as a citizen outside of the purview of what the committee does?
Gotcha.
Sometimes aren't.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I will be glad to come back and chat with you guys anytime. Thanks for your good questions and your interest.
Thank you so much for your presentation.
Yes, thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Okay.
Under item 6, the internal audit second quarter update.
Okay, so I'm going to share my screen. Commissioners, I will take this over. Let's see. So the second quarter of the city's year was October through December, and I'll just go through a brief update. I do like to put this update on the annual audit plan, which you see. or which you guys have seen, you guys do approve the audit plan. So for the second quarter updates under consulting services, for business services and the IT departments completed in November 2022, internal audit staff provided assistance to the team evaluating and designing the city's enterprise resource planning, that is Workday. We also provided support in training employees and launching Workday. For business services and IT, for information technology ongoing, since June 22, internal audit is providing assistance to the team identifying, evaluating, and organizing the city's databases and data sets. For IT, completed in October 22, internal audit provided assistance to the team researching and identifying software licenses. For the Office of City Manager, ongoing since August of 22, internal audit is providing assistance to the Prop 407 program in administration and financial areas. For business services and city manager's office, ongoing since December 22, internal audit is providing assistance to the Workday troubleshooting and phase three implementation team. And for business services completed in October of 22, internal audit provided assistance to the team drafting a procurement card administrative directive. Under the Independent Audit Performance Commission in the second quarter, staff provided support and facilitated one regular IAPC meeting and three subcommittee meetings. Under assurance services for second quarter updates under the accounts, change accounts, petty cash, and checking accounts, the second quarter update ongoing since November 2022 for Parks and Recreation. Internal audit is conducting an audit of Parks and Recreation's cash handling process. For Department of Transportation, completed in December 22, we have conducted an audit of our contractors' city-funded bank accounts. And for Clerk's Office, completed in December of 2022, we conducted an audit of the Clerk's Office impressed account. Under compliance, for the second quarter, for Clerk's Office, completed in December 2022, internal audit conducted a review of intern onboarding and compensation practices. Under City Contract Administration, for the second quarter, Department of Transportation and Mobility, completed in December of this year, the street furniture advertising, a review of the contract compliance and end of contract terms. For Parks and Recreation, completed in November of 22, the Reed Park Zoo Management Agreement was reviewed for confirmation that they have met the financial statement requirements in that management agreement. Under payroll, our second quarter update for Tucson Fire, completed in December. Investigation of complaints regarding overtime and pension contributions. Are there any questions, or would any of the members like me to expand on any of the activities that internal audit undertook in the second quarter of the fiscal year?
Response?
Unless either of you have any questions.
No. Shall we move on then? Thank you for your presentation. Future agenda. We've had some discussion today about a future agenda involving the equity in the police department's acquiring of new officers. Would the commissioners like to add that to a future agenda?
Yes, I would. This is Commissioner Rodriguez.
Thank you.
Does that need a vote? Do future agenda items need a vote?
I don't believe so. I'm not sure that's an action item.
Okay, so that would be a future agenda item, is getting more information from TPD.
Commissioner Pollack?
Leah, do you happen to have the last list of the future agenda items? Because I don't know what meeting those meeting minutes that one was in.
Well, we have, wait, that's our agenda. I would have put on the minutes any that were discussed, like to hear from procurement. We heard from that today. Other items included the efforts to fill the vacancies on the commissions. I did not receive a response from either Ward 2 or Mayor's office. And then we had information on TPD, labor negotiations, and metrics from exit interviews. So maybe that was the one piece still that Commissioner Rodriguez was getting towards.
I'd like to propose I'd like to propose that the commission, because we talked about this a few months ago, that we determine what direction it is we want to go in. Because if we just keep having these meetings and we're not zeroing in on the next audit we want to do, we need to try to determine what the next goal is for auditing, for having where we're going to put our next focus on.
What am I still sharing? I also have, this was a list that was made of possible future items of having the equity officer and Office of Equity update, discussing changes to the bylaws. I know we have actually touched on that since I've been with us. An overview of the Workday system, which is the new ERP system, and audit costs. So this is another list of, but I think the commissioners, it's up to the commissioners to really guide and say what they want on the next agenda.
I see both Commissioner Rodriguez and Commissioner Pollack have their hand raised.
Yes, this is Commissioner Rodriguez. First of all, Leah, thank you for reviewing our concern regarding needing a representative from the mayor's office. That's an ongoing issue, as well as Ward 2. I mean, that's been going on since I've been on the commission. And I think the rest of the city needs to be represented. But I think that for me is great, that keeps coming up. I just would like to see, some progress in that.
I'd like to carry that idea even farther. This commission has been 2 members short for the last couple of years, and I have to question the efficacy of the Independent Audit and Performance Commission. And, I think there should be discussion as to whether or not to ask mayor and council to remove some of the statutes that set it up. The commission cannot really function doing subcommittee reports and investigations. We can't have the same people doing everything all the time. And the efficacy of the commission, I think, is in question, and it's something that should be discussed at a future.
Are you thinking it would be discussed with representatives from mayor and council or amongst ourselves or what? I mean, we don't seem to be making any progress.
My feeling is it should be discussed among ourselves as to whether or not to make a presentation to mayor and council. It does not seem to be functional to contact the offices of Ward 2 and the mayor's office and have them send anyone to us. They just don't answer.
So you would actually, like, in a mayor and council meeting, you would want to get on to an agenda and actually, like, speak to them when they are all sitting?
I would like to have the commission talk about it.
Oh, okay.
About making some stronger moves either to strengthen the commission or maybe let it go.
One way or the other.
But that's something the commissioners should talk about among themselves before they make any kind of presentation.
Okay, so that can be on a future agenda, a broader discussion about the vacancies and the effectiveness of the commission in regards to those vacancies.
That's a great idea. The other thing that I've noticed is there may be other commissions that aren't meeting also. And I know I sent an email to a contact I had for the pedestrian advisory committee. I don't think it's met for a year, yet we're killing pedestrians as fast as we can here in Tucson and other places. But I'm kind of questioning a lot of the commissions and if the mayor and council really have buy-in to any commissions. You know, I don't know enough about all the rest of them, but I know everybody has an issue getting people to volunteer, no matter what it is. But I just thought I'd toss that one out, too.
I think that should be part of the discussion that we present.
I was wondering.
One of the things that has disturbed me in the short time that I've been on this commission is the rather limited number of action items. We sit and talk about many things, but I don't see a great many action items on it. The code enforcement committee seems to be the one thing that's maybe developing an actual action item. We do discuss a lot.
Rodriguez.
Mr.
Rodriguez, I'm sorry. Commissioner Rodriguez.
Yes, I agree with you, Commissioner. I think also those action items I think are important to actually be present at a city council meeting, I think would be a good step forward. I don't want to be part of something that just, you know, makes recommendations and we're just spinning our wheels here. It was quite eye-opening that there's no internal forms and things necessary for a valid type of evaluation internally, any markers or baselines. That's concerning. And we are talking about city assets, money. And so I would hope that does get followed. And real briefly also, getting back to the police issue, I believe that the presenter last time said he would like to come back and provide more information. So I think that was positive. So that might be also an action item for scheduling him when it's appropriate to come back and discuss that. The other question I have is among ourselves having our own conversation regarding this aside from the meetings that we have monthly. Would that be in a subcommittee meeting? What would be the forum for to discuss more thoroughly these concerns?
With the police department?
Or other issues?
I would think it would be an agenda item. I mean, it's a major item. What is this commission supposed to do? Where is it going to get its recommendations to, as to what to audit or what needs to be looked at, instead of just hopping around trying to get information and then picking something out of the air almost? It doesn't make any sense to me that it's operating like that. But that's what it kind of appears to be. The only reason we did the code enforcement audit is because we had a request from one of the ward offices. And I don't even think that the ward offices, the council and mayor, may not exactly know what abilities the commission has. And so it may be a good topic just to talk amongst ourselves and figure out, can we come up with a presentation to give mayor and council and state what we can do and make more pleas for keeping it staffed, keeping the commission staffed. Or, you know.
I agree it should be an agenda item, and just in case someone out there would have any input for the commission, since it has to be a public forum.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be great.
Commissioner Rodriguez, do you have anything further?
No, I think that's a great idea. I'm with that, and look forward to discussing, those concerns we had. Thank you.
Chairman Clark?
Yes.
A couple of things. I was given a handbook for participation on this board when I first started. I presume that each of the other members has received that same handbook, which is very informative. It includes the ordinance that established this commission and the operating protocol for the commission. Interestingly, there was a memorandum issued shortly after the ordinance. This was in September of 2014 that established a protocol wherein future agenda items would be submitted in writing by a commission member, given to the internal audit representative to the commission. That would get forwarded to the city manager's office, and if approved, forwarded back to the chairperson. But it would seem that perhaps a review of this handbook, and if others don't have it, to equip them with this handbook, we might coalesce ourselves back into an entity that is a little more focused on what we're allowed to do, how to approach it, how to select those items that are actionable, and it would be sort of a suggestion to find out if everybody has the book and maybe proceed with a review. And I know Internal Audit Williams has kind of reviewed a few things with us in the past, but perhaps with the new board members, commissioner members, we might do this again.
Yes, and Aaron did just try to post something in the chat, a link, but it didn't seem to open when I tried to open it. Aaron, what were you trying to share with us?
Sorry, Chairman Clark, members of the committee. The public-facing site is also going to have those documents that Commissioner Andrews spoke of. And yes, that might be something good to cover in a future agenda item. We've done it periodically over time where we can go through again and review what the authority is, kind of the format that what actions the committee can take and the way that they are structured. And I agree, it might help refocus on what exactly your authority is, what you can do on your own, how you can choose projects to tackle so that we can kind of start shaping up a lot of the discussion into actionable items and hopefully make more of an impact and provide more of a service to the citizens. The link in the – we will send it out in an email also to all the commissioners as a follow-up, and Leah then can put it on a future agenda item for detailed discussion if you'd like.
Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, that would be a great idea because I know I've looked at the site quite a few times, and I have that document already that you posted, but I don't have any handbook or anything. Not that I know of.
Commissioner Rodriguez, do you have anything further?
I think that would be great to get a copy of that. I don't believe I have a copy of that, so it would greatly be appreciated for that. Thank you.
Anything further? Meeting is adjourned.
Do you have another meeting to go to?
No, I just, it's...
Sounds good to me. Hey, thanks as usual, Leah.
Have a wonderful evening.
Yeah, thanks for everybody attending.
Thank you again, and Happy New Year to everybody.
You too.